More than 13,000 people are now confirmed dead in last week's earthquake in Turkey. Many Turks and the Turkish news media have attacked the government for its slow response to the disaster. The country's prime minister has admitted the state was virtually paralyzed in the crucial 48 hours after the quake. But as NPR's Jennifer Ludden reports from Istanbul, no major cabinet shuffle is expected.
The most searing image of last week's quake for many Turks is of panic-stricken survivors frantically casing collapsed homes, helpless and alone. Over and over, Turks called for help, which never came. "They're leaving my family here," cried a woman in Golchak. "Is there no humanity in Turkey?" Television crews and foreign rescuers made it to many demolished sites well before Turkish civilian defense teams or the army, and the official explanations of why have not restored confidence. In an interview with CNN, Prime Minister Bülent Ecevit said even he could not surmount the post-quake breakdown in telecommunications.
"I personally had great difficulty in communicating with telephones, with GMSs, etc., with the areas hit by the disaster. When I went to those provinces, I was unable to telephone Ankara. I had to come back to Ankara to take the necessary steps."
Most disturbing was the army's absence. NATO-trained, huge, and immensely respected, Turkey's army in the past has not hesitated to step in and take over from politicians. Some newspapers have noted, ironically, that during the past week of crisis in the northwest, the army has maintained its operations against Kurdish separatists in the southeast. Sedat Sertoglu of Sabah newspaper is less critical of the armed forces.
"They know what to do in case of a war. If Turkey was attacked, they know what to do. But they don't have plans for a destruction of that big."
Indeed, the disaster zone stretches 250 miles. The military lost its largest naval base in the quake, and commanders complained that damaged roads and heavy traffic slowed down troops sent to help survivors dig out. The army is now pitching tents for the homeless and clearing debris, its esteem among Turks apparently intact. But the government cannot seem to escape mounting anger. In hard-hit İzmit, this desperate man cannot contain his rage at local officials. "Why can't you answer my question?" he demands over and over. He wants to know when and where he can pick up his hungry children's next meal, and no one at İzmit's crisis center can tell him. Adding to the chaos have been the embarrassing statements of Turkey's nationalist health minister, Osman Dermuş. He's banned donations of Greek blood, refused American medical help, and insisted homeless Turks in tent cities don't need portable toilets, they can use the sea. Government officials are reported to have quietly informed allied countries to pay no heed. Still, editor Yalçın Doğan of Milliyet newspaper says the government has lost the respect of its citizens. Doğan says it was evident when President Süleyman Demirel took a tour of the disaster zone and encountered angry mobs.
"All the people shouted him for the first time, and he said, well, it is very tragic what he said, what Demirel said. It is the result of the wishes of the God. If God wishes that, so what can we do?" That was his explanation to the earthquake.
As frustrated Turks search for something positive amidst the past week's tragedy, they say maybe, finally, lessons will be learned. Analyst Sedat Sertoglu tells of one town which was informed 30 years ago that it sat exactly on a fault line. The town council convened and solemnly voted to move the fault line. These days, there's more informed talk about moving dangerously situated cities, cracking down on construction codes, conducting earthquake drills in schools. The government has dismissed local officials in the quake zone. Prime Minister Ecevit refuses suggestions he resign, promising instead to correct past mistakes and do better when the next earthquake hits. I'm Jennifer Ludden, NPR News, Istanbul.